It's time for Bites Behind the Media, small portions to help you remain relevant at the water cooler. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Mack Weldon. It's a premium men's essentials brand. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code CLNS at checkout. We're also powered by Little Part Media, where ideas come to life, producing corporate videos and podcasts that tell your story. For more, check out littlepartmedia.com or contact info@littlepartmedia.com. So, 1, 2, 3, texting. You were shocked, Jimmy, weren't you, when you got that text? When that
shocked. I almost drove off the road. I was like looking around for a tornado. I mean, because I have notifications from the weather service. Right. If there's horrific weather or dangerous weather, mm-hmm. I'd like to know about it. Yes. I don't need to wait around, to check it out myself. I'd like to know about it.
So what did this sound like?
It's the emergency broadcast system. It was really loud, really annoying, and it was right in the middle of a song, and I was annoyed. I mean, I really was annoyed by it.
And it is
got my attention.
It
though.
Got your attention. And I think
I heard it was the presidential alert,
right?
You know where my mind went.
Yes, Jimmy was thinking that
somebody may have done something very nasty to our president.
So I had been keyed in on this because I heard it on public radio driving down the street a couple of days ago that there was some controversy over this presidential alert, because that's what it's called now. It's an emergency alert system which has been out there forever that warns you. You see the crawl at the bottom of your TV set and the...
I think it actually started with the Cuban Missile Crisis in the early 60s.
Was that
I think it was Mr. Kennedy. I think it was President Kennedy. I think. I might be wrong, but still. Testing my history major.
Yeah, that one,
I think it was.
We'll have to look that up and perhaps bring it
back. Because I remember people were building bomb shelters around their houses in the early 60s.
That is the time. I was building bomb shelters in my bedroom with pillows because I was at that point. But anyway, so there's always been this alert that you hear on radio stations. It just cuts out all transmission of anything. But what it didn't do was impact your mobile device. Not anymore.
Up until that, right.
Not anymore.
Right.
Now these emergency alerts can be, as we saw, go out across technology-wide with an alert of something bad is happening with weather or whatever it may be. So they were testing it. This was a test. It's now called the presidential alert. People are upset because they realize how the president has used Twitter, and they're concerned that this will not just be an emergency alert, but it's yet another way for this administration to reach into your brain and tackle you with untoward info. Right. With their own self-serving information.
That's right.
This is a FEMA-driven operation. FEMA saying, nope, there's no way that the president can hijack this and take it over. I don't think people are buying it. And people were looking for ways to opt out of having this text. And I believe there's
Which is dangerous, by the way.
Of course, it's dangerous because you might need to get certain kind of information.
Oh, I'll hear about it from somebody else, not if it's a nuclear attack.
Right.
And
who knows what it is. And so that's my concern, that this everything now has become political. Going to the store and buying gum has become political. And so what happens is people leave themselves vulnerable to some potential disaster out there that they're not privy to, of escaping because they have opted out of hearing the presidential text.
Right. And I did flip over. I was listening to Apple CarCare, so it came through my wireless system and it interrupted the music I was listening to.
You have one
of
those expensive things.
I don't know. It's not expensive. It's my phone. It's a cord that attaches to my car.
But you have to pay for it, don't you?
No, I do not have to pay for Apple CarCare. It came with the car.
But there's no subscription fee.
No, there's no subscription fee.
Okay.
Okay.
Apple CarCare, it sounds like. Like an ear freshener.
I have that too. Anyway, the key is to listen to the end, right, where it says no action is needed. Mm-hmm. So I decide to flip from my interior Apple phone-generated entertainment system that I was attaching to my car with the cord.
The air freshener thing.
Yeah.
You'll always think
to
about
radio.
Air
I decided to go to radio.
Right.
And sure enough, every station I
had
clicked
it.
On, it was going on. And some of them not at the same time, which I found interesting.
Maybe it's the delay.
It was definitely a delay in there of seconds. It was like they were all kind of doing it. And I listened to some of the, I still call them disc jockeys, afterwards talking about that was just a test of the emergency broadcast system. No action necessary, kind of, just in case you thought the war of the world was happening.
Yep.
But just to bring you, that's a scary thing. These are scary things we're talking about. Let's not go scary now.
Okay.
Let's spin it a little bit, because that's what Americans in commercial media do so well.
Yes,
and we're
going
to give credit to Burger King and to a pizza place and the Houston Zoo, because they all pushed out messaging basically saying this is a pizza test to make sure you're aware it's National Pizza Month. You know, Burger King alert. Did everyone get the message? It's time to have a burger. Yes. Or this is a test of the cute baby alert, a baby elephant alert system. No action is needed. That was Houston
that was
Zoo. And it just shows you how creative people. But immediately, Dan, this wasn't like they had to have a boardroom discussion.
They were able. They jumped
they
on
just,
it.
They jumped on it. Said, we got to do. We got to react to this in social media because it's
pretty
blowing
cool,
up.
Right?
Yeah. And that was.
We should have done something
proactive.
With a behind the media alert.
Yeah. This is not a test.
Yes.
It's a test if you can actually listen to this, subscribe to us, and follow us.
We missed an opportunity,
Jimmy.
That's
right.
We should have been as good as Burger King.
Story of my life, by the way. Missed opportunities in my broadcast career.
Now, one opportunity that's not being missed is our other story that Apple is adding 70 new emojis. Woohoo! Breaking news. By the way, do you use emojis?
I have started to use emojis only as like a tag to my text.
Oh, dude.
Usually,
what kind of ones do you use?
Smiley faces.
Smiley faces.
Or
I
if
do
it's
thumbs
a,
up,
if
peace
it's a
sign.
Thumbs up is easy because it's one push as opposed to okay.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, usually I use it of, okay, I get the message, gotcha, see you then, whenever.
Right.
You know, but I mean, come on, Dan. I mean,
we're slow.
Way too old.
Yeah, my kids, they do entire conversations with emojis.
With emojis.
My daughter was trying to explain to me. Actually, she found some emojis on my phone. I didn't even know were there.
Yeah.
I thought I just had like two pages of this. She goes, no, you could go deeper into it.
And I get the idea because a lot of times when I speak to groups or whatever, I say, has anyone ever sent an email or a text and it's been totally misinterpreted by the person who's received it?
And of course, everybody raises their hand.
Everybody raises
their
hand.
But with emojis.
With emojis, though, you can, you know, put in a little, you know, God, there's so many different ones.
Well, there's
hearts
everything.
And, you know,
airplane,
kidding,
yeah.
laughing, you know,
whatever
ha, ha,
it
ha,
is.
Only joking, you know, because it gives you emotional G attached.
Oh, is that what that is?
Emotional G.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's it gives your words and your text a feeling.
But what happens now in the future when kids
stand up? By the
way,
pick up the goddarn phone and call me. Will you please? It drives me nuts.
Well, what's going to happen when they do a speech and it's just going to be bloop, bleep, bleep,
right.
Bloop, bleep,
right.
Bleep. And that's my sound of the emoji.
I get it. That like, was cute.
Have,
I like
they
it.
Won't
I think
have
you have a future, Dan.
There won't be an actual conversation. It'll just be symbols that will be popping up on the screen, and that's how our future kids will communicate. But anyway, there's a llama, apparently, and a bagel that's being added as part of the emojis.
And the bagel's getting a lot of abuse because it's a weak-looking bagel.
It is a weak bagel.
Right.
But why do you
need
a llama?
Not a New York bagel.
Why do you need a llama, by the way? I'm not sure. Why do you need that as an emoji?
What is that?
It's the animal llama.
No, I know that, but what does that mean?
I don't. Maybe they spit, so you can use it as spit. I'm going to spit on
things?
You. They're furry things, too, but they spit, right?
I have no idea. You know who we need to call on that?
Our kids.
Ernie Bach Jr., because I think the dad had llamas on his property back in the day.
Oh, that's right. They are llama people.
Right, in Martha's Vineyard, right?
Yeah, but they do. We know they spit.
I've seen a few llamas, actually, as I drive around the...
They're not nice. They look.
I've never met a llama.
I've met llamas.
I mean,
they are
I've
not nice animals.
I've seen them, but I don't go up to them and introduce myself. It's an animal.
Yeah, they're bullies. I think they're bullies.
Okay.
Okay. And then finally, fake disaster
stories. Finally, because I got a couple
good
singers.
You can have
go ahead.
This one, actually, maybe we should have started with. It's kind of heavy.
Go ahead.
So in Indonesia, they have a rule against fake news on social media. So if you just put out fake news, especially fake news in this case about disasters, so you make up a story or you retweet or resend.
Yelling fire in a movie.
That's essentially
theater,
what it is,
right?
Yeah. So recently they've arrested six people. Apparently it's unrelated. They're unrelated to each other. But police have arrested six people for spreading a hoax about an earthquake and other disasters that they've had in Indonesia. They've arrested them because it's against the law to spread fake news. Now, I worry that that's going to happen here because fake news has been tagged to real news.
Right.
So that means that all reporters will be arrested. But I do think that the real fake news, what we used to talk about as the real
dangerous
fake news.
Dangerous news
that
impacting
can cause people.
Public
yes.
Safety.
That stuff should be outlawed.
The War of the Worlds broadcast on Halloween
would
not have been fake news.
Right.
Imagine, you know, again, it's a fascinating study. If you look at what's going on now and you go back to that historical moment when, I think it was CBS, broadcast the fake invasion of another world on Halloween night.
And people,
people actually believed it. They were fleeing their homes.
Yes.
Which is, you know, human behavior again.
Of course, back then we had no way to really check. You couldn't Google to find out if something was true. There was
nothing. Police department, you would call up. A lot of police departments were getting inundated with phone calls. And that's how it actually started. And then they ran a, you know, a disclaimer at the end.
Right.
Or even in the middle of it.
In the middle, they're right.
Right.
And imagine the how long it took people. When people were calling back then, you'd have to go.
Well, you're big with the sound effects
I am.
They did.
Yes, this is my game. Sorry. Okay, what else do you got there?
I got, well, there's a lot of things going on. First of all, did you know?
No, I didn't.
Fox News, do you know who Kevin Jackson is?
I don't know who Kevin Jackson is.
Okay, but he's on Fox News.
Is he a baseball player?
No. And Keith Jackson, of course, was the broadcaster.
Oh, okay.
He called Kavanaugh accusers skanks and got fired.
I did hear about that. Yes. Good. I didn't remember the name. But
and
yes, I did.
And again, we take shots. I take shots at Fox News a lot.
Yes, you do.
I thought I would give them kudos for
this
one.
Kudos for doing that. Yes. Okay. Anyone who uses that term, it should be fired.
Yeah. Now, the other side of the coin is a Trump supporter telling her daughters groping is no big deal.
Oh, I saw that. That was crazy.
This is by the way, remember I was talking about conversation, how this led to more conversations between parents and children? I'm like, okay, that's assuming that the parent has a brain or is educated.
See, her brain was hacked by stupidity.
Wow.
Did you see the clip?
No,
I think it was an MSNBC reporter. They're interviewing this mother about the whole controversy. The two daughters are standing there with her while she says this. And they're like, right.
I'm like, how old were they? Just out of curiosity.
They were teenagers. They were probably, I'd say they were either maybe ninth grade, somewhere between
15.
Somewhere in the 13 to 15, 16 year old range.
Yep.
And they're there and they're kind of like, almost as if like, you know, they half believe it, but don't. And I thought, wow, this is the crap that has gotten us into where we are now. This problem of sexual abuse where women have laid down and said, it's okay to be abused. It's okay to accept this kind of behavior. It's okay for us to tell our daughters to suck it up when someone does something to them. This is what it is. What has she just done to her daughters by saying that this behavior is okay, that groping is okay? Right? These now
I've
guys
never found it to be okay.
Right. Now guys will go up and grope the daughters and the daughters will say, well, mom said on national television that it's okay to be groped, so I'm not going to complain about it. I almost vomited on my computer.
Don't you want to write a ticket to some parents for bad parenting?
I think she should be arrested for doing
abuse.
That.
Abuse. I mean, that's
abuse.
That's an accessory to a crime. Isn't it?
She needs to be locked up. She doesn't deserve to be a parent if she thinks it's okay to say on national television and to say to her daughters, and she says, right? She turns up, right? Like she's.
Sure, Ma. Whatever
sure,
you say, Ma.
Yeah. She doesn't deserve to be a parent.
No,
I agree. Lock her up and throw away the key.
Okay, so here's another question, and it goes again. We'll talk about. I know you'll have an opinion about this because we've talked about anonymous sources in media. So Lindsey Graham rips NBC for running anonymous fourth Kavanaugh accuser.
Right.
So using an anonymous report. How do you feel about that? And as a journalist, I know you will protect your sources and are willing to go to jail to do it because you have that right protected by the First Amendment,
right?
Or the Shield Law, whatever it's called. So what do you feel about anonymous sources? Dan, you get a great tip from an anonymous source.
Right.
One source that's not giving you their name, number, or where they live, or what websites they've been on.
I think you can't go with a story with just one source. There is a caveat. Depends on who that source is. Now, if there's a credible source that you have had for an extended period of time that has always given you real information and you know their connection to whatever that information is unblemished, then I think if it is big enough of a story, then you can make a case that, you know, I can stand behind this, then yes, you can go with that story. You can go with that one source. But I think that you always want to have two sources, and some newsrooms even say you have to have three sources before you can run with a story.
Yeah. And that goes to the New York Times printing the memo from the White House, too,
right.
anonymously.
Right,
I might say.
And I think, look, if you know who the person is, the person can show you corroborating documents that help. There are all kinds of caveats that you can put in it. But I think if the world were a perfect place, you'd want multiple sources. You don't want to go with one source. And you want named sources. But if you only had named sources, then Nixon would have still been president. Well, not now. He'd be dead. But those are the kind, there are times where things have to be exposed, and the only way they get exposed is with anonymous sources.
Right. One last thing. Now, yes, I think you'll like this.
Yes.
Okay.
A lighter note?
This is
maybe?
A lighter note. Okay. Definitely a lighter note.
Okay.
But it has something to do with media, and it goes back to.
Well, this is behind the media.
Right.
And this is Bites behind the media.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And then this has to do with Bites because it's two food companies.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay. We all know that Dunkin' has dropped the donuts.
Right.
So we're calling them Dunkin'.
Right.
They are debuting an Oreo topped donut and Oreo flavored hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of putting out a press release to announce the products, the two brands chit chatted on Twitter to build interest.
Oh,
so Oreo and
Dunkin'
they
had a little back and forth.
Right, a little love fest. A little social
Ooh,
media love fest that's
cool.
A Bite. Get it?
Yeah, like it.
I thought I'd throw that out there and it goes.
And the Dunkin', you know, you always dunk those cookies in milk. So there's a lot of stuff that you can talk about there. That's pretty cool. Look, what social media, while we beat up on it a lot, has created a lot of innovative thinking among advertisers or brands or whatever it might be. And I think that's kind of cool. I like when there's something so unique. Although that's kind of redundant by saying so unique. If it's unique, it is very so. But if it's unique, I like it when there's something that's unique.
You're such a journalist.
Oh, my
yes,
goodness.
Indeed.
I know. I'm always like doing the whole, my English
grammar
teachers.
Check. Grammar
yeah,
check.
It's the teacher, Mrs. Durant, who listens to this podcast from time to time. She's always in the back of my head. And that's from middle school.
That's
you
know
crazy,
what?
Isn't
no,
it?
No, it's not.
Not
that's
my,
why a
my
teacher.
My high school teacher doesn't. It's the middle school English teacher that haunts me all the time.
Outside of the family. Teachers and coaches were the most influential people in my life.
Yes, they are.
They really were. And, yeah. You know, and even more than my friends, okay?
Now, teachers are very influential. That's why good teachers are important.
Yeah.
Bad teachers should be taken out of the
and,
system.
And by the way, if any teacher is out there,
yeah.
you all need a raise.
You do.
I mean.
You do need a raise.
The perfect example is when you have a parent saying it's okay to grope
yes,
my child.
Exactly.
Okay? This is not the kind of lessons that we need to teach at home.
Wrong. Yeah,
all right?
Wrong
and
lessons.
We know it won't be taught in the classroom.
Hopefully
most
not.
Teachers
no.
are educated.
Yes. Most. Yes.
Most.
Okay, boy.
Whew, that was
we
exhausting.
We were on fire, and no one, you know, that's why I said you got to wear mitts when you listen to this show because we're always hot, sizzling, on fire. Thanks for listening and enjoying this podcast. We know you loved it. Like it, share it, keep listening on iTunes and the CLNS Media Network. For our director, Steve Helmuth, I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
And now you know what's behind the media.